We are delighted to be here in God's house where there is a move of the Spirit. Now, I probably will be one of the most provocative and unpredictable men that you've ever heard or have ever watched in moving with the Spirit. But you see, I didn't start in the ministry yesterday. I served one pastorate 20 years. After that, Satan literally put me through a tribulation period, but God restored me. God restored me. Now I am so keenly sensitive since the restoration to the all-important direction of the Spirit in human life. And I don't know whether you are aware of it as sensitively as my spirit seems to witness to it today. But literally, friends, you're on the verge of the greatest recovery of apostolic power and authority that any church in South Texas has known. You're on the very threshold of that. How do I know? I have seen things with my eyes the last 20 minutes that proves to me that as the ear of man is keenly sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, and if we follow the Spirit as sons and daughters of God, we walk back to the paths of apostolic authority. By that I mean believers recover their power in the name of Jesus. And I noticed our pastor this morning was admonishing you, and the Spirit had him by the coattail, saying, forget about tradition. Forget about a guest preacher. I imagine he probably broke into a cold sweat various times, recognizing, look, we've got a guest, and he's going to preach today. And this thing's getting right on up to high noon. Well, I say, pooey on the formalities of preaching. Preacher, there's a lot of pastors that would give their eye teeth if they could just be the spiritual leaders of a body of folk that are so close to a breakthrough of original Pentecost as you are. So I've said that to say this. I ain't preaching this morning. Now, there are two reasons I'm not. God is not through with the move and the trend of the Holy Spirit that started moving in this meeting today. Yeah, but we want to hear you preach. Well, we'll have that privilege tonight at 6 o'clock. But look, friends, I've got sense enough to know that to do justice by the material, the subject that the Lord has impressed me to deal with, to do you justice by that, I've got to have 35 or 40 minutes in order to set the truth and anchor the truth and close the truth. Common sense tells me that, and it'll tell you that. Common sense also tells me in the other ear, there are certain obligations that people have. And even though they're leaning with a bent ear toward truth, they've got obligations they've got to meet. And you know, I'm not on a vanity trip. I've had my name on the marquees of so many billboards from nation to nation. I don't have to have it said, the doctor preached this morning. What I want to have it said when you leave this church is, a revival's here. A real God-sent revival is here. And when the real spirit of revival is aflame, that will create an irresistible drawing card that radio, television, newspaper, or anything else cannot beat in drawing people to God. Are you listening to me? Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Now, Barbara and I could be any one of 100 different places today. In fact, I've just finished a 5-month series of meetings on the West Coast and came by and picked her up. We drove in. We could be a lot of places today. But I'm just as sure as my name's Bill Oslin, I'm in Bryan, Texas at God's time and in God's will. to see a manifestation of glory, to see a visitation of the Holy Ghost upon a body of believers. In fact, there's going to be so much happening in the next few hours. People come by and they won't know whether it says Assemblies of God, Four Square Catholic, or what out there on that sign. This is a revival of the Word and of the power of God. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. Let me introduce Barbara to you, and I'm going to come back and say it. But I'm honest now. I am not preaching a formal sermon. I will tell you what I will be preaching about, God willing. I'll give you a little preview of it. But I am not preaching a formal sermon, because right now there is a spiritual gift stirring inside me that I want to minister. I want to share this gift with those others that the pastor felt had not received what they came to the church. See, you didn't come just to see and be seen. If we did, I see pink suspenders and green suspenders. And I decided one thing, dear brother, if it'd make me play a sax like that, I'd buy a pair of green suspenders today. I think I'll get you a pair. It might help you on the company. Might help. Barbara, with the green you got on, you ought to sing like a mockingbird today. But oh, you're wonderful. We love you in Jesus. And here's my companion, Barbara. You listen to a few words she's got to say, and then I want to exercise the gift of healing. I want to exercise that gift before we go home. Healing for the whole man. My dear brother over here, who's got that aftermath of war that Satan has used as a sharp dagger to attack him. Brother, in the name of Jesus, you started that momentous victory last Sunday. But I'm going to tell you, when I lay hands upon you in the name of Jesus in a minute, there's going to be a wall of infinite protection put around you, and Satan will not be able to penetrate that wall again. Amen. I heard pathos in your voice. I heard a tear in your voice, and I know that was your heart's cry. And this to me is a sign of the Holy Ghost. Today is your day of absolute, complete victory in the name of Jesus Christ. It is. It really is. Here's Barbara, my baby. Listen to her a moment, and then I want to have a special, special moment of deliverance. Barbara?
He made it sound like that he was in California for 5 months alone, didn't he? Because he said, I came back around and picked Barbara up, and we came down here. The whole story is that where he goes, I go. God has given us such a marvelous deliverance. And we minister together. It's something new for us both. But we're not the same people that we were before God touched us, you see. And the reason why he came by and picked me up is that we have had a new miracle in our home. We have a little grandbaby, a little granddaughter who was born just 3 weeks ago. Our baby daughter, our youngest one, gave birth to her first baby. And it was a difficult delivery, so we called it a miracle delivery. Praise God, it's over with. The baby is here. She weighed 9 pounds, 5.5 ounces. A big baby for a little petite girl. She was born natural, and we praise God for this. So this is why he had to go to California. We had another miracle. The night before our baby was born, we got a call from his only sister friend who said, our mom and dad, is both in the hospital in ICU. Papa Austin had a stroke. Mama Austin was just trying to get over surgery from a broken hip. They put a steel pin in her hip. But she had had complications. They were both in the hospital and maybe would not live through the night. So the next day, Bjorn had to fly out to California and start taking care of his parents. But God allowed a great miracle to take place in their lives too. So I'll tell you, when you see the goodness of God and when you hear testimonies like our brother this morning and what God has done for us, then you know that we're serving a God, that he will give you miracles in your own life, because we are serving God, because he is no respecter of persons. What he will do for us, he will do for you. Now, just a little A little something to tell you about who we are and where we come from. Number one, I want you to know that we are not here to entertain you. We are not here for fun and games. We are not your professional evangelists. In fact, we don't even know really what evangelists are supposed to be doing. As I said a while ago, we're new people in Christ Jesus. Even though BON has had a marvelous ministry for 40 years now, and many times when you get into a profession, you think, well, I'm a professional salesman. You know, I'm a professional teacher. I'm a professional a teacher of public schools, or I'm an administrator, or I'm a professional pastor. And many times when we go into these professions, it becomes almost routine with us. See, it's just something every day, every day, every day. And maybe this is what happened to us. I don't know. But in 1975, BON was struck by an oncoming pickup truck as he was walking across the street in downtown Amarillo. I'm not going into all the details this morning, but I will be sharing from night to night the steps that we took to receive our miracle. You see, miracles don't just happen. They don't just happen because you're called yourself a child of God. But you have to make your miracles happen. And I'm going to show you how they happen to us. There are steps in the Word of God that will bring you into a relationship with Him where miracles are not just a phenomenon, but they're an everyday occurrence. And so every day in our lives, we expect miracles to happen, and they are happening. And what we want to do is to be able to show you in the Word of God how these things work for us. Because after BON was hit by this truck, for the next 4 years, Satan tried to destroy him. He changed immediately before my very eyes from a strong man that you see this morning who was young and vibrant and had all the answers to life's problems, it seemed like. But Satan almost destroyed him. He turned from this vibrant man you see this morning into a shaky, tottery, 80-year-old looking man. And many times he could not even make his own decisions. He was so out of it. And when the doctors gave him only 72 hours to live, then God started performing miracles in our life because we were obedient to His Word and obedient to His voice. But see, we didn't learn these things overnight. We're still learning. God is still in the restoration business. But what I want to tell you this morning is that if you need a miracle in your own life, if you need a miracle in the lives of your family, if you need a miracle in your community, if you need a miracle in your home, your immediate home, then no one is going to meet that need any more than you, because people aren't as concerned, sad to say, about your own needs as you are. Now, they may say they are, and they can empathize with you, and that's trying to move in and live with you, so to speak, but they can only go so far with you. But when you become concerned in your own spirit, when you're tired of the existence that you're living today, when you are dissatisfied with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then God can perform a miracle in your life. And He can start changing things whenever you want to grow with Him. These are things that we're learning. And I want this morning, as BON comes back, to minister in the Holy Spirit to you. I want you to begin to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that maybe there is a chance in my life after all. Maybe I can receive my miracle. And if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to start moving in your life and start taking His place foremost, just give yourself to Him. Forget everything that's around you. Forget the plans that you have made today. And get alone with God and give Him your first time. Go ahead and allow Him to start His work in your life. Then you can receive your miracle today before you leave this building. And what will happen after this is that He will start confirming it by signs and wonders in your own life and in the lives of your family. What is a revival? It's when you start getting your prayers answered. It's when God starts changing your life. You won't even realize what's happening to those around you, but when you really understand what is happening to those around you, then you'll realize that there is a revival, not in your own spirit, but in everyone around you. So today is a day of miracles. We've been praying for you before we even came. We have been claiming Bryan, Texas, ever since we met Beverly and Calvin in Israel, actually in Los Angeles or Chicago when we first met them. But we've been claiming Bryan ever since. Why? Because God put it into our spirit when we were in the upper room praying that that he was going to send us to Bryan, Texas. Your pastor didn't even know that, but we knew. And God has brought it to pass. And so we're going to see mighty things. Why? Because we're claiming it. God told us we could have it. We're claiming your miracles for you, and you will receive it today. And I just want to tell you, when the Bible says, if any two agree on earth as touching any one thing, they shall have the desires of their heart. They'll have what they ask for. Now, we agree with you. You don't realize this before. We have been agreeing. We're going to see mighty things happen in this place. Families are going to be changed. This earth is the Lord's. Bryan, Texas, College Station, and all the territory around it is God's. This earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, which means people too. It's His, so we claim it for Him. We're giving it to Him, and we're going to expect mighty great things to happen to you. I want to introduce again to you my young husband, B. Owen Osland.
Do you know what's in Matthew 6? Do you know the envied, lovable, unforgettable document in Matthew 6? We call it the Lord's Prayer, verse 9. And it starts out, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Before I pray for those who need total physical, spiritual, and mental deliverance, I want everybody in the audience, clear your voice and let us worshipfully sing. And whether I teach you 5 hours of the Word, which is what's on schedule, or if it runs into 50 hours, which is unscheduled, whether it's a few or many, I'll be dealing by revelation knowledge with the depths of truth for you, the believer, that's nestled in the lines of Matthew 6. 7 phrases comprise the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, which literally is the believer's prayer. 23 elements of truth are entwined in the 7 phrases of the Lord's Prayer. There is no end to the truth that Jesus introduced believers to. And everybody that's got your book with you, say aye. And everybody that's got your book open to Matthew chapter 6, say aye. And everybody that's down to verse 9, say aye. All right, let's not read, let's sing. All together, here we go now. Our Father. Well, that's not everybody. Some of you didn't bring your Bibles or your voice, one of the two. Let's get them both here now. All together. Our Father. Sing it again. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy. It's rising like water, sing it on. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. As it is in heaven. Listen to it now. Give us this day our daily bread. Pick it up a little bit. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now the doxology. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Lift it up and the make it ring now. For, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Sing amen again. You know what you were singing? Sing it again. Amen. First of all, you were saying, so be it, to the fatherhood of God. The very first phrase, Our Father. if he's your father, and I believe he is. And if he isn't, he wants to be, and he can be. If he is your father, whatever you ask the Father, in Jesus' name, you receive it. The contract God has with his children is, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, pray in Jesus' name to the Father. Don't pray to an angel. Don't pray to the Holy Spirit. Don't even pray to Jesus. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and you enter a covenant of verity and power with our Father. Every one of you who knows God is your Father, raise your right hand and say, I know it. Hold it up again. Say, He is my Father. I see two or three hands in the audience that could not be raised. Let everybody say this. Father God, I believe in Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that, and I confess that. Now, my friend, I know God's your Father because you were born in the Spirit. 1 John 5:1, if we believe Jesus is the Christ, we're born of God, which means God becomes our Father. Now, since He is our Father by confession, He is ready to give good things to us today. He's ready to give the gift of healing to those of you who need physical repair. And oh, I know how it means. Can you imagine this body bent over as a result of the injuries of the accident? Can you imagine this body shaking like a tottery, helpless victim? Can you imagine this body not even to feed itself? How embarrassing. When I'd try to take food to my mouth, and the food would fall off the fork on my lap. Barbara would come over and dust off my dirtied lap and say, Daddy, don't give up. The gift of healing is going to be given to you. Can you imagine this body, a slave to drugs? They were prescribed drugs, but just as deadly as street drugs. I had the prescription, but I was bound. I was a slave to drugs, to where I thought I couldn't live without them. I cried for them. I begged for them. I would have done almost anything to have kept those prescriptions filled. The doctors were giving them to me as free as water. And here I was, that shaky, tottery, helpless man, when one blissful day, all that I had left, and I drove to the crest of a hill overlooking the city where I'd pastored 20 years. I cried out for God. Oh God, do you know where I am? Do you know who I am? Do you have any knowledge of my desperation? And suddenly, as if an arc light started shining from the ethereal blues above, oh, it was a mixed audience I had on that lonely hillside that day. And I took the pulpit that God provided for me to preach from. It was the hood of that old car. And I opened up my Bible. And like an arc light from heaven, divine revelation began to shine on those two words, Our Father. Our Father. Our Father! And I recognized that though I was weak, He was still my Father. Though I was sick, He was still my Father. Though I had prodigaled, He was still my Father. Though I was an addict, He was still my Father. Though I was flat broke, He was still my Father. And all I had to do was to recover that identity and that sense of relationship, that He was not just anonymous Father. He was not an unknown Father. He was my Father. Hallelujah. Our Father. Say it with me again.
Our Father. I know you've told the truth because I heard you confess Jesus. I heard you say out loud you confessed Him as Christ. And when you did, spiritual new birth happened in your heart, your mind, and your body. And every gift our Father has, He's more anxious to give to us today than we're anxious to receive. To those who need the physical healing gift, I want to share the gift of healing that He gave me with you. To those of you that are financially despondent, I want to share the gift of plenty that He has bestowed upon us. Thank God we're out from under the snares of Satan and we're being restored a hundredfold. We're coming back not just part way, but all the way and then some. In fact, I want you to know I'm living in the last two chapters of the book of Job. Glory to God. I'm off the ash pile. Glory to God. And some of these tongue-tied and intimidated men of the cloth who've tried to teach me that there's virtue in poverty and that there is a self-made humility in being flat broke, I don't believe in a word of that. I believe my God is a God of plenty and He is a God of total supply, and He did not limit Himself by saying, I'll supply just a few of your needs. Paul, by revelation, said, my God! Who is His God? He's our Father. Glory to God. So it simply said, our Father will supply all, A-double-L, everybody say all of your needs. That takes in every one of them, doesn't it? The little ones, the big ones, the bad ones, the good ones. All your needs will be supplied by our Father according to His riches and glory. Whatever your needs are, you're going to leave this church today a glad person, a happy person. Now, I cited my brother because the Lord gave me by word of knowledge an understanding that he's got absolute and total victory. But the pastor a moment ago seemed to feel, and he was reluctant to really go. If I hadn't been here, he'd have still been ministering to you. If I was not the special guest, he'd still be laying hands on this whole crowd. But we're going to pick up right where he left off. And we're going to minister special spiritual gifts one to another. I want you, my brother, to come and let me lay hands on you. I want every believer in the house to say, I'm a believer. Well, I don't know whether that included everybody or not. Everybody raise your right hand and say, I'm a believer. Okay, you've got so much power flowing through you right now. Satan is about to have a nervous breakdown. For when the believers lay hands on somebody else, things happen. Glory to God. I want you to turn to the person on your right. This is the right. You got it? Person on your right. Somebody on your right? Glory to God. You folks here have got a long reach, but just reach out and say in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to look at that person that you're touching right now. Come on, look them in the eye. Don't look over them. Don't look around them. Look at them. Are you able to do that? Look at that person. Now, are you listening to me? Everybody listen to me, because we're going to release unlimited power in the prayer we're about to pray. Say to that person you're touching as you look at them, say, I love you just as you are in Jesus' name. And as God loves you, I love you, and I'm going to minister to you in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. That gets all hang-ups out of the way, and we got nothing but an absolute free flow of power from one to the other. All right. You start praying for the one that you're touching right now. Everybody pray one for another. Glory to God.